WBBM Chicago.
Don't touch that dial. This is Chuck Shaden inviting you to stay tuned for 2 hours worth of great radio entertainment on our special weekend edition of Radio Classics from WBBM in Chicago. It's Sunday evening, September the 13th, 1987, and on tonight's Nostalgia Night program, we're going to interrupt this program for commercial announcements. 2 hours of great memories and nostalgic fun with some of the great radio commercials from the golden days of not so long ago. Our guests are Hooper White, president of the Hooper White Company, a television advertising consultancy, and Bruce Dumont, the president of the Museum of Broadcast Communications, and some great radio commercials. So pull up your imagination and stay tuned. It all begins in just 2 minutes.
Thanks to everyone who joined us this weekend for the WBBM Free Day at the Chicago Historical Society. It was a day of real celebration as we marked the 200th birthday of our nation's Constitution.
We have one of the first public printings of the Declaration of Independence, so what we have is a people's document.
If you couldn't join us Saturday, you can see the new We the People exhibit anytime at the Chicago Historical Society. Call them for details. And thanks to everyone for joining us from WBBM News Radio 78.
Do you know a teenager wondering about AIDS? The Chicago Medical Society has distributed posters to more than 100 high schools in Cook County. They provide information about TelMed, the Society's health tape switchboard. Get the straight facts about AIDS. Call TelMed. Ask to hear the AIDS tape. This service is free and confidential. The Chicago Medical Society, in touch with Chicago on WBBM News Radio 78.
Is it hard for you to say no to alcohol and drugs? Does alcohol start your happy hour before breakfast? Has it gotten to the point where drugs abuse you? Ignoring it won't make it go away. Call the new treatment center. You see, DuPage County's largest medical facility, trusted Elmhurst Memorial Hospital, has designed the treatment center to treat chemical dependency with a proven biopsychosocial approach that's personalized. Because chemical dependency is a very personal problem, we protect your privacy by law and by ethics. A staff of medical specialists will see you through to the end of it with aftercare that's free as part of your recovery program. Consultation is free. If you need help for yourself or for someone you love, you can start by calling the treatment center's 24-hour crisis line right now. The number, 941-4577, 941-4577. If you can't remember the number, just call Elmhurst Memorial Hospital and ask for the treatment center for the help you need to say no for the rest of your life.
And this is Chuck Shaden with our Radio Classics for this Sunday evening. I'm delighted to have two very special guests in the studio with us. One, a longtime friend of ours, a gentleman I've known since my very early days in the radio broadcasting world, a man who has made a real name for himself, too, in the Chicago broadcast market and even around the country. One television newscast of the President of the United States, Mr. Dumont, got up and asked the question of Mr. Reagan. Bruce Dumont is here. He's the president of the Museum of Broadcast Communications at River City in Chicago. Bruce is also political correspondent for Channel 11 WTTW Chicago and senior editor of Chicago Tonight on that station. He's the host of Inside Politics on National Public Radio in Chicago, WBEZ. Bruce, welcome to Radio Classics. I need your mic open. Now it's open.
Well, it's even nicer to be with you now.
I told you that's the way it's going to be. Bruce, we have a very special event coming up. In fact, it's ongoing right now at the Museum of Broadcast Communication. It's all about commercials.
Right. The current exhibition is a thing called And Now a Word from Our Sponsor, an exhibition of award-winning commercials presented without program interruption. And what we have been able to put together is a collection of award-winning television commercials, not only from the Advertising Age collection for the last several years, but also the Mobius Awards, which is produced by the U.S. Festivals Association in Elmhurst, Illinois, which is a combination of domestic and international commercials. And so we have all their award-winning reels for going back about 7 or 8 years. In addition to that, there is a new competition, which is starting just this year, sponsored by the Chicago Ad Club, called The Best Show. In fact, the awards will be presented on Thursday of this week, and we have all their nominees. So we have already amassed a collection of over 5,000 television commercials at the museum, and we have put together a series of award-winning reels, which will be presented throughout the week at the museum, and we've got it highlighted with a couple of major seminars, which I know Hooper is willing to, I'm sure we can probably twist his arm and he'd say a few words
about it. That's right. Well, we're going to introduce Hooper White right now. Hooper White is the president of the Hooper White Company, which is a television advertising consultancy dealing with all phases of TV commercial production. Now, Hooper is also celebrating Old Home Week here at WBBM in Chicago.
Indeed,
because, Hooper, you were here back in really the golden age of WBBM.
Well, when you say back here, you mean WBBM. You don't necessarily mean McClurg Court, because this goes back to the Wrigley Building, WBBM Radio.
WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building,
exactly,
Chicago.
Exactly, yeah. So.
And when were you affiliated with BBM?
From 44 to 51, 52, back in
Boy,
the
early days. That's state-of-the-art radio back in those days.
Oh, that was it was a marvelous time. A wonderful group of people there, John Harrington, Bob Venables, a whole bunch of folks, Cliff Johnson.
You, Cliff Conway. Johnson was the fellow who took his family around the breakfast table every morning.
I produced that show. I lived in Evanston at the time, and every morning I'd get up at 6:30. And I would drive to Oak Park, 10 cents a mile. I think that's the reason I did it. I think my salary was $75 a week. And I would spend the breakfast hours with the Johnson family, get there and open the door and say good morning to Lou and help her get rid of whatever it was the dog forgot to do outside the night before. And then set up a blackboard and a subject for the day, and the kids would get up and we'd talk a little bit before we went on at 7:30.
Was it a half an hour? There,
half an hour, 7:30 to 8 every morning. Breakfast with the Johnson family.
And Cliff is now in the travel business in Oak Park.
That's what I understand.
And I believe
right.
Lou as well. Lovely couple.
Well, now, how did you move from the Cliff Johnson family and all those golden days of producing and writing and everything else at BBM to becoming one of the foremost commercial advisors and producers?
Not foremost, just one of the oldest.
Well,
I saw the advent of television coming along. Incidentally, something that Les Atlas, who ran WBBM, wasn't particularly fond to see happening because he was doing quite well, thank you, with radio at the time, and he was not interested at that point. But I got his agreement to work on anything that I could with television as long as it didn't interfere with radio. So I began producing the commercials for the Wednesday night fights. What do you have? Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That was you? Was that your idea?
No, it was my idea. No. I produced the commercials.
You just
in
drank
the
them. No, oh, I see.
Oh, that too, of course, Chuck.
What? Now, we know that in radio today, an advertiser who is convinced that he can reach a great audience, let's say WBBM's audience, with a commercial message, and he wants to do that as economically as possible. Well, first of all, he makes the contact with the station, and they buy 60 seconds, let's say, of radio time.
Mm-hmm.
Now a commercial has to be produced. For radio, even today, all he has to do is, even with the help of the advertising department here, sit down and write out a 60-second script, and boom, it can be on the air that fast. Now for television, it's a whole different story.
And, Pete, it is. The average cost, incidentally, of producing a television commercial for national use is over $130,000. For 30 seconds. So, I mean, this gives you even more of the contrast, Chuck, that you're talking about.
Right.
In those days, some of the most successful commercials were individualized by the people who were involved. Jim Conway's commercials for Milnot on a program called Shopping with the Misses were very individual.
Mm-hmm.
The things that Cliff did for broadcast brand corned beef hash were very individual. Let me mention a rather unusual thing that happened.
Bruce, I told you, we don't need a script for tonight's show, right?
If we did, I've lost my place.
You're getting it back.
Go ahead.
But two of the children of Lou's and Cliff's, Pam and, Pam and Cindy, a new product was going to be introduced, and Cliff believed in truthful advertising involved the family, and so the new product was broadcast brand corned beef hash. So they were going to go on the air on a Monday. So on a Friday, I brought a can of broadcast brand corned beef hash out. And after the show, Cliff said, okay, kids, off the air. This is going to be a new sponsor. Oh, great. Let's take a look. So they took the top off the can. And I think it was Pam's took one look and said, looks like dog food. Cliff looked at it and said, I would appreciate it if you would not say that on Monday morning. And so Monday morning came along, and we were all wondering what the kids were going to say.
Mm.
And in the background, I heard Pam mutter, it still looks like dog food.
Truth in Advertising. Yeah. But they sold a lot of corned beef hash,
indeed,
didn't they?
Indeed they did. Indeed they did.
Well, we have from the Museum of Broadcast Communications collection of radio sounds, because mostly we're going to do some radio things tonight, and we'll talk about some television commercials. We have some pretty good sounds for radio days, and the first commercial we have up features a very familiar voice, Franklin McCormick, who was the announcer for Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy, for so many years. He talks about Wheaties. You're going to hear the Franklin McCormick on Wheaties. You'll also hear an old Wheaties commercial on there. You know, the song is, "Have you tried Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land?" Well, the tempo was a lot slower back in the earlier days of that. Let's roll the tape.
What did you do this afternoon when you got home from school? I hope for your sake you hiked right out into the kitchen and helped yourself to a heaping big bowl of those extra good Wheaties flakes. If you did, you got in on one of the swellest tasting afternoon lunches I ever came across. And if you didn't have those whole wheat flakes this afternoon, well, try them tomorrow. It's my bet you'll have your order in for Wheaties every afternoon.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Breakfast food in the land. Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the bran. Won't you try Wheaties? For wheat is the best food of man. They're crispy and crunchy the whole year through. The kiddies never tire of them, and neither will you.
So just
buy Wheaties. The best breakfast food in the land.
Have you tried Wheaties, the best breakfast food in the land?
The swellest tasting cereal.
Yeah, well, you know, this was for the kids, and I will wager that, Bruce, you had some Wheaties in your time, haven't you?
I absolutely did. Not enough of them, unfortunately. I haven't
Franklin,
won any games yet.
Hooper, you talked before about Cliff Johnson and his family and being good salespeople for the products, and the Jim Conway. Franklin McCormick, of course, was a master salesman.
Absolutely.
And I think what it dealt with mostly was the fact that these people were true personalities, and they became ingratiated to the listening audience,
mm-hmm.
and the audience trusted them and believed in them. Arthur Godfrey is another great example of that sort of
Probably
thing.
Probably the prime example, really, commercially.
Absolutely, absolutely. And Godfrey talked one-on-one to his audience.
How much of what he did, Godfrey, now, was scripted, and how much was came off a fact sheet? Hooper, do you know?
Most of it was a fact sheet. As a matter of fact, the first commercial he ever did was for a furrier in Washington,
mm-hmm.
who was very proud of the fact that he had a bear in front of his store. And he had lip and said, "It may be a bear, but it's the dirtiest looking bear I've ever seen."
Well, that's the way they do it. Listen, I got another cluster of commercials here for about 3.5 minutes. I want to tell you what you're going to hear on here. Remember the Longines Wittenauer Watch Company?
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, this is a commercial for Longines watches, and they sponsored for many years on radio the Longines Symphonette. And, of course, now these people have all these great 12 record album sets of all the vintage material. Then the Tasty Yeast Company was on the air, Billy Jones and Ernie Hare, they were known as the Happiness Boys on radio when they were on the air for the Happiness Candy Company. When they were on for Tasty Yeast, they were the Tasty Yeasters, I think. And whatever sponsor they had, they just rolled with the punches. You're also going to hear Frank Crummett, one of the fine voices of radio, the vocal voices for Roy Tan Cigars, a commercial for Anison. And then you're going to hear an integrated commercial, which was one of the good things they used to do on radio that they can't do on television today because all the TV shows have to go into syndication, and they would have to edit out those commercials. So we have one for Ivory Soap with someone who sounds like they're doing a Zazu Pitts imitator. And only an old guy like Hooper would know who Zazu Pitts is, right? Let's listen.
Suicide Sonata set the stage for another concert of the world's most honored music, presented as a salute to Longines, the world's most honored watch. The Longines Symphonette, under the leadership of Michel Piastro, will play a program of the world's most honored music. These lovely melodies and Longines watches make a common appeal to cultured people the world over.
Tasty yeast is tempting to your appetite. Creamy, wholesome candy, try a luscious bite. Vitamins are hiding in this candy bar. Pep, Vim, and Vigor linger where they are. Children like this lovely, creamy food delight. Let them eat it daily, every morning, noon, and night. You will see them growing stronger every day. Taking yeast is dandy.
Men, Frank Crummett is here with me to say a word about Roy Tann cigars. Frank Crummett.
I'm really a fan for Roy Tann, and the reason is Roy Tann has more long filler Havana tobacco, and yet it's a 5-cent cigar. Man to man, smoke Roy Tann.
Every one of you undoubtedly has a headache or pain remedy that you swear by. But haven't you noticed that on some occasions it fails you? That there are times it does not seem to work? On these occasions, let me suggest that you try Anacin, for here is a remedy that I'm sure won't fail. You'll find the fastest and most complete relief in Anacin you've ever experienced. The reason is simple. Anacin contains not one pain-soothing agent alone, but four, one of which is in all probability the remedy you now customarily take to relieve pain. You can get Anacin at your druggist for a few cents. Your money back if you're not pleased. I'll spell the name. A-N-A-C-I-N.
And now, before the overture to the second act of the Gibson family, let's step backstage and look in on Sally Gibson and Hilda, her maid, who is helping Sally change for the next scene.
Quick, Hilda, hold this dress. I've never been so excited in all my life.
It's really wonderful, isn't it, Miss Sally?
Too wonderful. That scene in the garden.
It made me think of Henry, Miss Sally. Miss Sally, if I had your complexion, do you suppose Henry would...
What, Hilda?
Tell me what's wrong with my face, Miss Sally. Those red blotches just won't go away.
Soap, probably. What kind are you using? Some beauty soap, I suppose.
Yes, Miss Sally. That one that promises radiant beauty, glamorous youth, irresistible loveliness. Oh, Miss Sally, I had hoped Henry would...
Yes, so did I once. And then I learned the truth. Hilda, you can't feed the pores of your skin with beauty oils or mysterious ingredients.
No.
And many highly perfumed, prettily colored soaps contain fatty acids and free alkali that really irritate and harm your skin.
But, Miss Sally...
My doctor recommended Ivory. He says all any soap can do is cleanse, and that to protect the fine texture and pores, a soap should cleanse gently. And that to do that, a soap must be pure. He said Ivory would help to keep my skin smooth and fine.
And, Miss Sally, do you think Henry would...
Oh, quick, my gloves, Hilda. Is the bell for the second act?
No, Hilda will never get a Grecian nose by using a beauty soap. But we do hope she gets Henry. And now for the overture to our second act. All right, Don.
Okay, no, not going to get a Grecian nose that way, huh? That's
no
a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. This is Chuck Shaden on Radio Classics. Tonight, we're talking about the vintage commercials. Our guests are Bruce Dumont, the president of the Museum of Broadcast Communications at River City in Chicago, 800 South Wells Street, open Wednesday through Sunday for the general public, and suggested donation is $3 at the door. Annual membership for an individual is $25.
Keep going.
For two people living at the same address, it's $35.
You know, we should sing this.
That's right.
In keeping with the theme of
All right, well, let's do a singing commercial. And
have
a
the museum.
Family membership. Well, Hooper, you're the guy who produces commercials, so let's do
audition.
Give us a quick jingle for the
have
museum.
Have you tried the museum? The best museum in the land. How's that? That's
have
the
you tried the museum?
The best museum in the land. We've got old-time radio shows. And television, too.
And don't forget the commercials, especially for you.
Have you tried the museum? The best museum in the land.
Too much.
That's a keeper, right?
Incidentally, in talking about Cliff Johnson's family, I said Cindy. I meant Sandy. My goodness, his oldest daughter's name was Sandy, not Cindy.
Well, I'll tell you Sandy what. You can apologize to Cliff Johnson in person because he heard you, and he called up and said, hey, my daughter is Sandy, not Cindy, and we're on the line with Cliff Johnson. Hello, Cliff.
Hello.
Hey,
Cliff. Well, we're glad to have you check in with us tonight.
Well, you know what? this is an amazing thing. I stepped out of the shower and I turned on my radio and all of a sudden I hear the name Hooper White.
Oh my God!
and to me, Hooper is not only one of the great stalwarts in the broadcast industry, but a fine gentleman.
Hmm.
Well, I would say, Cliff Johnson, that you are a person who contributed an awful lot to the good old days of radio in Chicago with your family's breakfast being broadcast for so many years. How long were you broadcasting as a family?
Well, let's see. Hooper, as I recall, we came back from Hollywood in 1946.
Right. And you, I think it was for, wasn't it almost 5 years at WBBM before you went over to WGN?
As a matter of fact, probably you will appreciate, and I think Hooper knows the story, Chuck, but when I was out in Hollywood doing the Linkletter show,
right,
and when Art was gone, I would interview the kids, and I got this idea that they're so totally uninhibited. Grandparents and children always tell the truth if they try.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked into Les Atlas' office, by the way, Hooper, you know the story.
Mm-hmm.
And he's sitting behind the Wall Street Journal. And I just said, Skipper, I've got an idea. We might put a microphone in the house in Oak Park and just let the kids talk and make it an all-American family discussion. And Hoop, as you know, he pulled it down. He said, when do you want to start?
Yeah, how about Monday?
He was something else, wasn't he?
Yeah, he really was. And Bill Kettle, that was the engineer.
That's right. And Bob,
Bob Myers?
Bob Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, a very interesting thing, Cliff. He gave you that opportunity, and you really ran with the ball. That became the most highly rated half hour between 7:30 and 8 in Chicago.
As I recall. But, Hope, let me get in perspective another thing. That the fact that you did come in, and you know the name of the dog?
Oh, gosh.
Echo?
Oh. Echo. Oh, my goodness. Haven't heard that name in years.
We'll put that down for a nostalgia book,
Echo.
Trivia book. Right?
All right, what was Cliff Johnson's dog name?
Yeah.
Echo. Very good.
Also, when you would pick up Vicky and take her out of the room.
Oh, Vicky, love you. Yeah, whenever she began to cry, I was sort of the daddy, and I'd take her away. Yeah.
Cliff, nice I want to ask, did you ever have any really bad problems in the morning with the spontaneity of the family like that?
Was I right about the broadcast brand? Corned beef hash?
Well, I think Hoop remembers that there was a toothpaste that came on the market called Amion, A-M-I-O-N.
Right.
And I wasn't too really ready to go with it. I think Rorig Pharmaceutical Hoop was the behind it.
Yeah.
And we had Kraft Foods, broadcast brand, and I think also we had Nabisco.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Jay's Potato Chips.
Beautiful.
And we were concerned about the toothpaste. I remember, Hooper, you and I stood out in the hallway at 605 Woodbine in Oak Park.
God, yes.
And we talked about, you think that we should really try this? Well, anyway, we did. And they put the toothpaste in all of the different bathrooms. Well, we had three in that big house, Hoop.
Mm-hmm.
And we were indoctrinating everybody. And the morning that we went on the air, Vicky was to be the spokesperson. And now Hooper is starting to chuckle because we get on the air and she says, I don't like that stuff. I want Colgate.
Exactly. It was probably one of the shortest runs.
The last one. Well, it was the only thing you had on the show that wasn't edible anyway, right?
It's tough to fire your kid.
But on the other hand, Cliff, that was the verity of the show and it made the show what it was because it was a completely honest viewpoint of this family.
But, Hooper, do you remember when you put that, you scribbled something down on a paper in front of me and you said, 4 out of 5 of us use it.
Now, that's a marketing genius right there.
Right? Hoop, you did that.
I know. Well, 80% is not bad, is it, Cliff?
I know.
Was that the beginning of the 4 out of 5 doctors recommend?
Oh, dear. Well,
or had that been around before that, Hoop?
I don't know.
Well, it started 1946. It ended 1958.
That Cliff, might have been the beginning.
It could have been it.
Cliff, how's my friend Lou?
Well, here she is. She just wants to say to you personally, here she is. She loves you, Hooper.
Love
here
her.
She is. By the way, we've been married 50 years come now this
is
next
that
year.
Right. Unbelievable.
Well, congratulations.
Well, honestly, you know, he got so excited, and darn, I didn't hear it. I was not in the room. But, Hooper, you know how much we always thought of you.
Oh, you sweetheart.
And your whole family. And just give them all our best.
I certainly will, Mary.
Wonderful to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Good night.
Let me take another minute with Cliff, please.
Oh, just a moment, please.
Okay. Cliff, are you there?
Yes.
He went back to the shower. No, you're there? Cliff, I just want to know. Now, you're running a travel agency now in Oak Park. Is that correct?
We also have a store in Des Plaines.
Mm-hmm.
And for the last 10 years, I've been president of the Midwest Travel Association and also serving on the National Government Affairs Committee in Washington, D.C. And it's a whole new career, Hoop, but it's fun.
Oh, that's
fun. Lovely.
That's great. Hey, listen, before you go, can I ask you one more thing? You remember Bob Venables?
Yes.
Chuck, Bob Venables probably had the best announcer's voice and was the most impressionable person I've ever met.
Yes.
And we used to, this is really kind of a dirty trick, but we used to tease him and say, look now, your next commercial is going to be a live commercial. And it's going to be for Wild Root Cream Oil. Whatever you do, do not say Wild Root Cream Oil. And of course, he'd come right on and say Wild Root Cream Oil. And then he'd get so mad, his eyes would practically pop out of his head. Oh, my.
Very Cliff, it's nice of you to check in with us tonight, and I hope that sometime we can get together and talk a lot more for a more length of time about your radio career, not only with your family, but yourself as a staff man at WBBM and filling in for Art Linkletter and all the others.
Well, we'll do that, and Hope, I have in the basement those big acetates.
Oh, my.
There's some very precious, wonderful things that children said.
Yeah.
I've never done anything with it, Hope.
Ah.
Well, they belong in the collection at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
You're feeding right into Bruce Dumont's hand.
I was going to make a point that I primarily was raised in the television age, but the show that I remember most from radio was Cliff Johnson.
Really?
Absolutely, because my parents and my aunt and uncle would be listening to that every single morning, and that is my earliest recollection of radio.
About
was
them,
your
Apple.
Show. And I grew up on your show. In fact, I think last October, when I introduced you, because you were one of the stars who came home to attend our gala, You Can Come Home Again celebration at the museum.
Yes, I did.
And my recollection of how you were introduced was reminding everyone who is of a younger generation that before there was a Wally Phillips in Chicago, there was a Cliff Johnson.
You got it.
By the way, he took my hour.
That's right.
I know.
but Hope, let me tell you one thing. Cliff Jr., who, by the way, is on his second album now.
This is hard to believe. That
as a rock star. He's down in the basement looking at this stuff, and I said to him, if we ever start, getting in and digging things out of here, Hooper White has to be in on it.
I'd love to help you.
Let's do it.
We'd love to have it at the museum, Cliff.
Okay. Right.
Thank you very much, Cliff Johnson.
Love you, Hooper.
Thank you. Love you, buddy. Take care.
Okay, this is Chuck Shaden with Hooper White and Bruce Dumont on Radio Classics from WBBM News Radio 78. We'll continue with the conversation and some of the great vintage commercials in a moment or two. If you thought that tax shelters became extinct when the government's recent tax laws were enacted, you'd better think again, because one outstanding tax shelter that survived is the tax-deferred annuity, and it's being offered by Cragen Federal Savings. You see, with an annuity, your investment funds will earn a high rate of interest that's deferred from state and federal income taxes until withdrawn. What's more, the interest rates of annuities are usually higher than those of CDs, and that rate is guaranteed for the first year by the insurance company who underwrites the annuity contract. Another important plus, you pay absolutely no opening administration fees or yearly charges. Best of all, you can make deposits anytime. Without a doubt, an annuity can provide a substantial benefit in so many situations. So call Cragen at 889-1000 or visit their nearest location to find out the current interest rate and to learn how an annuity can work for you. Cragen Federal Savings, now over $2 billion in assets.
While many Americans buy Japanese products, there's also a strong market for U.S. products in Japan. You can find out about this booming export market at the next WBBM Business Breakfast. Find out how Illinois businesses can find opportunities in Japan. Thursday, September 17th at the Palmer House, join WBBM's Len Walter and our panel of experts, Japan's Consul General Yoshio Kurita, Illinois Commerce Director Jay Hedges, and Chicago exec, who's found a strong market in Japan, Vienna Sausage President Jim Eisenberg. The WBBM Business Breakfast, sponsored by Oberweis Securities. For reservations, call the Empire Room of the Palmer House, 726-7500, 726-7500. The WBBM Business Breakfast from WBBM News Radio 78.
Chuck Shaden here. Hooper White is our guest. So is Bruce Dumont. We're listening to some radio commercials. It was nice to check in with Cliff Johnson, who, as he said, heard his name on the air and checked with us, proving that everybody listens to News Radio 78.
There you go.
We have a cluster of commercials now from the radio days. From 1936, Harry Richman and Frank Parker were on the air, sponsored by Dodge Automobiles. And so you're going to hear a little clip there. Then you remember the most famous commentator, newscaster on radio was Walter Winchell. You're going to hear the opening and the closing of the Jergens Journal, a little bit of a sales pitch there for Jergens Lotion. The opening of Ma Perkins, who was sponsored by Oxidol. You remember Oxidol's own Ma Perkins. Then the opening of a Jack Benny Jell-O program, and another famous program from the 1930s, the Maxwell House Showboat with Lanny Ross, doing a commercial for iced coffee. Iced coffee. Oh. And Al Jolson introducing a very tall announcer who was called Tiny Ruffner on a program sponsored by Lifebuoy Soap. Let's listen.
Thanks, Frank. That was swell.
I'm glad you liked it, Harry.
You know, you're a darn good-looking fellow. I'll bet you have lots of girls crazy about you.
Oh, I don't know.
You're just being modest. But tell me, how do you feel when you're in love?
How do I feel? My gosh, Harry, it's the most wonderful feeling in the world. Why, when I'm in love, I'm just breezing along with the breeze. I never mind the bumps or the ruts along the highway of life. I float through life on a cloud.
And that, folks, is exactly the way you feel in the famous Dodge Air Glide ride. If you haven't experienced this thrill, visit the showroom of your local Dodge dealer. See for yourself the extra value you get in this big, new, money-saving Dodge. Believe me, folks, it certainly is more car for less money. Think of it. The new Dodge Beauty Winner of 1936 now sells for only $640 and up. List price is at factory Detroit.
Hey, that is something, Harry. But how about you singing a song now?
Don't mind if I do.
The Jergens Program with Walter Winchell, America's one-man newspaper. Walter Winchell's famous column appears in the New York Daily Mirror and other newspapers from New York to Honolulu. He's here with flash news, odd news, exclusive news. We have a Thanksgiving treat for you tonight. Miss Alma Archer is here in our Jergens studio and will speak to you later. Alma Archer is an expert on smartness and beauty, and she believes that the care of her hands is a duty for every woman. And now to the editorial room of the Jergens Journal and Walter Winchell.
Good evening, Mr. and Mr. North American. All the ships at sea. Let's go to press. Flash, Juarez, Mexico. Betty Lawford, who takes a bath before... And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jergens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who thinks every American has at least one thing to be thankful for on Thursday next. Thankful that we still salute a flag and not a shirt. Good night.
Seeing is believing. See an Oxidol wash. See how Oxidol washes clothes white for life. Oxidol's own Ma Perkins. Visit any part of the country today and you'll hear amazing but true stories of the great new Oxidol. This new kind of Oxidol changes...
J-E-L-L-O!
The Jell-O program, brought to you by Jell-O and Jell-O Pudding, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Phil Harris, Dennis Day, Rochester, and yours truly, Don Wilson. The orchestra opens the program with I Am an American.
No matter what your favorite entertainment is, you'll always find it on the Maxwell House Showboat. Your ticket of admission, as always, just your loyalty to Maxwell House Coffee.
And here he is to present it to you in his own unequaled manner. Your singing favorite, Lanny Ross.
I sailed away to Treasure Island.
Well, now, Tiny, it's your turn.
Thank you, Captain Henry. As our curtain rises, we see a golfer step inside his front door at home. His wife calls to us.
Well, dear, how was your game? Pretty hot day, wasn't it?
Hot is right. And the game, just so-so as usual. Oh, goodness, Mary, I feel all in.
Feeling kind of low and played out, dear. So I'm repeating the wholesome little ceremony you liked so much last week.
Yeah, what's that?
The most refreshing drink there is. Here you are.
Ah, iced Maxwell House coffee, huh? I tell you, Mary, this certainly does hit the spot.
Certain. And ladies and gentlemen, in golf and tennis clubs, around swimming pools, in the locker rooms at the baseball parks, at the beaches, wherever people are active this summer, you'll find a growing custom. People are drinking iced Maxwell House coffee.
Thank you, Marie Wilson and Charlie Butterworth, for your contribution to the evening's fun. And immediately after Tiny's message, there's a little vocal contribution I'd like to make. All right, Tiny?
Thank you, Al. Okay, Lud? That sentimental little ballad is called Hands Across the Table. Whether it conjures up a picture of two romantic people holding hands, or a picture of Junior reaching across the table for a second piece of cake, I want you to remember this one fact. Those hands, no matter whose they are, can spread the germs of many common diseases. That's why I want you to realize how important it is to keep hands clean, to wash them regularly and always before meals with Lifebuoy, which not only removes dirt, but helps to remove germs. Teach the children this habit. Form it yourself. Always use Lifebuoy for hands and face as well as the bath.
Those were the days, those good old commercials. You know, on our regular Radio Classics broadcast, we play a lot of the vintage radio shows, minus the commercials, so you don't hear the original commercials that came on. So we're making up for it tonight on this Nostalgia Night edition of Radio Classics here by giving a look at so many of the old commercials. Lifebuoy Soap certainly was a big advertiser on radio over the years. Bruce, I always remember an old gag that, you know, that they used with commercials and Lifebuoy soap. They said, can I hold your palm olive? She says, not on your Lifebuoy. Or what did the bar of Lifebuoy soap say to the bathtub? I'll give you a ring on Saturday night. Boom. I'm sorry. And this has brought me to WBBM today. Bruce, now you're involved in broadcasting, telecasting and broadcasting, Channel 11. Public television in Chicago, WBEZ, public radio, and you have no commercials at all.
No one ever interrupts me.
You poor fellow.
But what you have to do is have selected times of the year where you ask the public to support the broadcasting. In your early days in radio, however, you came face-to-face with many advertisers and had to do some hustling to get some commercials.
Oh, absolutely.
To get you
rolling. In fact, I should mention for those that are not familiar that you were the person that gave me my start in radio, gave me that first opportunity back in 1973 up at WLTD Radio, and that was the time when I would go out and get the sponsor and write the commercial and send out the invoice and record it and host the show and produce the show and call up in the middle of the night if the client hadn't paid. So I had about 9 jobs, but going out and also, you know, producing some radio spots, and was fortunate to pick up a number of sponsors that helped me get started along the way, and they also traveled with me from station to station as I jumped around a little bit. I remember 1975, I was with 7 different radio stations in 1 year. It was a fun year.
Those were, wow. You know, really, though, that was the best fun of all from all of this stuff, wasn't it?
It was fun. In fact, I mentioned to a number of people that the days that we worked together at WLTD were certainly the most memorable time in my broadcasting career. I think that, as you will recall, we had a camaraderie of everyone on that staff. Mm-hmm. It was really close-knit, and it was a fun time in my life.
Well, I was happy to be very part of it, and you certainly have made me proud over the years with all of your great accomplishments. Hooper White, you produced many a television commercial in your time. Mm-hmm. What would our audience readily recognize as some of the biggies in your career?
Well, I did have the great good fortune to work for the Leo Burnett Advertising Agency, which is, to my mind, one of the best, if not the best, advertising agency in the country. I'm sure, a personal opinion, but I mean it sincerely. And one of the great things about that agency was that it's unbelievable list of fine companies for whom they did advertising.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Procter & Gamble work. Oldsmobile, at that time we had Nestle. Lots of Kellogg work, which they still have. Marlboro, back in the days when Leo started it all out by suggesting that they put a a tattoo on the back of this man's hand. Well, if you know anything about tattoos, that's the worst thing you could possibly do to the back of your hand. But that was his first effort to say that this is a masculine cigarette. And he continued that imagery through the Marlboro Country approach to advertising, and took that cigarette from, I hate to say this because I don't think much of cigarettes these days, and I haven't smoked myself in 20 years, but he took that cigarette from a very, very low position to the world leader, and most of it based on the type of advertising, that preemptive advertising that he suggested and stayed with.
Is that the key to advertising today, to stay with that product, to stay with your concept no matter what?
It all depends on what the concept is. Mm-hmm. If you can have what they have referred to at Burnett as the big idea, an idea that is large enough to sustain itself, and there were several of them, the Green Giant. I mean, what does a Green Giant have to do with peas? You know, come on. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And yet the Green Giant became the umbrella for all the products, fresh and frozen, canned and so on, that came out of this little place in Le Sueur, Minnesota.
Is Marlboro the most successful identification of a product with a lifestyle, a perception? I can't think of anything that is as dominant Marlboro identification, because that is the epitome of macho around the world.
Well, it's really
the American cowboy and the tattoo, and
it seems to work worldwide, Bruce. And it is interesting that you make that observation. As a matter of fact, Marlboro advertising has not been on broadcast, either radio or television, for 17 or 18 years, and yet the phrase "bum bum pa bum bum" suddenly reminds you of Marlboro Country. I mean, it was an unbelievable combination of sight and sound that seemed to work well for that product. Mm-hmm. But the same thing with Morris the Cat and a bunch of things. We had a bunch of, we had a menagerie at Lear Burnett of real and imagined animals and people.
Tony the Tiger.
Oh, and we had elves. We had the Kiever elves. I mean, come on, you know. Factories, you can't find a factory if you can, as good as cookies made in a hollow tree.
Was it Parley Bear who did the voice of the elves in that? Or do you remember?
I'm not really sure.
I think Parley Bear was Chester on radio's Gunsmoke
it's very possible.
Commercials, and I think it was he who did that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, commercials really, I guess they stay with us for so many years. People hum a little tune or a jingle, and we just, I guess it's because of the repetition.
Well, I know at the museum, we keep a top 10 list of what is the most circulated material from our archives, whether it's radio, television, or commercials. Because we have radio and television programming as well as commercials. In fact, we really have more commercials than we do have radio and television programs. And commercials, of that top 10, commercials always make up at least 4 of the top 10 insofar as what people want to come in and watch and listen to. So there is great entertainment.
Hmm.
And I think that certainly in recent years, insofar as television is concerned, many of the commercials are more memorable than some of the programs. And certainly the budgets are as high as some of the programs, as you know.
Well, you know, it's interesting. There was, back at WBBM in the 40s and 50s, a program, 15-minute program, that ran twice a day called Gold Coast Rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nothing but commercials. What Les Atlas did was to take these 60-second commercials, which would not fit between network programs, and he would put them, one was at 8:15 in the morning, and the other was at 4:45 before the network news came in the afternoon. And a fellow by the name of Mort Hall, who was the head of continuity at WBBM, would weave this little story around these 10 or 12 one-minute commercials. And George Watson and maybe one or two other people would be involved in this little docudrama, which wove one commercial into the next.
It was a comedy show.
Yeah.
It was a quarter-hour comedy show.
It was also 12 minutes of commercials.
That's right, yeah. But they would lead up to it. They say, gee, I can't find this object. I don't know where that object is. And all of a sudden you hear, you wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent. We've got some more commercials for you now. We're talking with Bruce Dumont and Hooper White. I'm Chuck Shaden on News Radio 78 WBBM. And we're going to lead off with one of the great salesmen of all time from either radio or television, Arthur Godfrey, talk about smoking. He's on here for Cremo Cigars.
Where are you?
Nice to see you. Pepsi Cola, Bromo Seltzer, a spot for Chesterfield cigarettes. Incidentally, these are hazardous to your health. Don't inhale during that spot. And we're playing this for historical reasons only. Barbasol, Cresta Blanca, Rinso White, L-A-V-A, the Lux Radio Theater, and a little bit with Cecil B. DeMille for Lux Soap.
Let me try this before you go further.
Okay.
Bum, 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 bum,
Cresta Blanca. Okay. Cresta Blanca. Bum, 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 right? Okay, let's
You're
listen.
You're right.
Unreal.
Light up a Cremo, a mellow, mild Cremo, a winning smoke by far. You can search every climb, but at three for a dime, you can't beat a Cremo cigar. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the sweet-scented cigar-smoking society. This is Arthur Godfrey down in Washington, D.C. Mike Mann Godfrey, Cremo's capricious custodian of the calorific cantata.
C-R-E-S-T-A, B-L-A-N-C-A, Cresta Blanca, Cresta Blanca.
Rinso white and Rinso bright.
L-A-V-A, L-A-V-A.
The curtain falls on my son, my son. Brian Ahern, Madeline Carroll, Lewis Haywood, and Josephine Hutchinson are returning to the microphone.
Thank you for all four of us, Mr. DeMille. I always enjoy appearing in the Lux Radio Theater, and I think women everywhere are grateful for the product behind it, Lux Soap. It's a grand complexion care. I know that from my own experience because I've used it for years.
I'm another Lux fan, Mr. DeMille. The thing I like about Lux Soap is that it has such a gentle way of caring for your skin.
Mr. DeMille, it's up to you to bow to both ladies at once. And after the bow, you can tell us about next week's play.
I think we'll take a bow on next week's play, too, Louis. A week from tonight, we're going to do The Rains Came.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, your attention, please. Someone once said that the world stands aside to make way for the man who knows where he's going. And so tonight, it gives me great pleasure to make way for a man who knows what he's talking about. Harry Von Zell.
Don't ever neglect the cold. At the very first sign of a cold, get after it immediately with the faster help of sparkling, what's the name?
Fred Allen, remember?
No. The name of the... I'm awfully sorry, that eagle has upset me. I can't remember the name of what it is that helps fight colds faster. It slipped my mind.
Well, it'll come to you. Go ahead, Harry.
Well, yes, of course. Ladies and gentlemen, this famous product acts very quickly, yet it's exceptionally gentle. And since the progress of a cold is very fast, the greater speed of what it is I'm talking about is especially important in fighting your cold. And that's not all. The name will come to me in a minute. It also helps nature counteract the acidity that so often accompanies a cold. And, ladies and gentlemen, you can check these facts with your own doctor.
You'd better check the name, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, Fred, you know what I'm talking about.
Why, certainly, Harry. You're talking about America's outstanding saline laxative.
That's it, Fred. And the name is...
The name is, so many physicians recommend it.
Yes, and it helps fight colds faster. But what is the name?
Well, here's a pretty to-do. Wait, Harry, there must be somebody around here who knows. If there is, will you please tell us confidentially...
Ah!
That's it. Sal Hepatica. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you.
Well, that's really getting the listener at home involved. Every listener listening to that, maybe even you tonight, knew that they were talking about Sal Hepatica, but they kept avoiding the mention of the name until the very end of it, and so you couldn't drag yourself away from that commercial. The hypnotic power of radio commercials, and even the hypnotic power of television commercials today. Would that the programs were as good as that. We're going to take a short break for some commercials of our own, and I know they will hypnotize you for just a moment, and then we'll be back with our guests Bruce Dumont and Hooper White. I'm Chuck Shaden. You're listening to Radio Classics, our special Sunday night Nostalgia Night edition on WBBM News Radio 78.
If you're looking for the best of television this fall, you're not going to find it unless you have cable. You're not going to see Fred and Ginger in Swing Time or Brando in A Streetcar Named Desire, uncut on American movie classics. Think you'll be getting timely information on headline news, CNN's Moneyline, or the Weather Channel? No way, not without cable, Ray Bradbury Theater, or exclusive new game shows on the USA Network. Doesn't look that way. Without cable television, you can't see dozens of new channels, and you can't get TV you really want to watch for as little as 50 cents a day for basic service. And cable is easy to use, too. See what you've been missing. Call
1-800-CABLE-ME.
For quality entertainment that anybody can afford, call
1-800-CABLE-ME.
And if you call now, you can get cable in time to see The Divided Union, a new five-part series on the Civil War on the Arts and Entertainment Network. Call
1-800-CABLE-ME.
Not only are school kids out of school because of a teacher's strike, but when they're in the classrooms, what are they learning? Not much, says Lynn Cheney, chairman of the National Endowment for the Humanities. Hi, I'm Sherman Kaplan, sitting in for Dave Baum tonight at 10 o'clock. Join Lynn Cheney and me for a look at where education has gone wrong. We'll also hear from Senator Chris Dodd, an outspoken Connecticut Democrat, as we talk about subjects ranging from parental work leave to aid to the Contras, plus open line and more, with me, Sherman Kaplan, on The Baum Show tonight on WBBM News Radio 78.
Thank you very much, Sherman. Chuck Shaden back with you on Radio Classics. Bruce Dumont is here. Hooper White is with us. Bruce Dumont said before that there is in progress right now at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. And now a word from our sponsor, right? That is an exhibit of award-winning commercials presented without program interruption. Bruce, some very special things happening in the course of this exhibit.
Right. In addition to playing the award-winning commercials, which insofar as the advertising age awards. Of course, Advertising Age is the Bible of the advertising industry. We have their award winners going back to 1983. We have the Mobius Awards, which is an international competition developed by the U.S. Festivals Association in Elmhurst. We have their commercials going back to 1985, both foreign and domestic. And then we will have the nominees to a new competition created by the Chicago Ad Club called the Best Awards. That's and true. We have all their entries. And this Thursday, they will select the best commercials of the year, and the people that will be selecting them will be the creative directors of the major agencies from around the United States. And then we will also, next week, we'll be showing will be the first place where you can come and see the commercials that have been designated the best. And then we have two special seminars, one that I would like to tell everybody about since we've heard several jingles tonight. On Wednesday night, the 16th, there's going to be an open house at the museum, which will be a place where there'll be some liquid refreshment and some hors d'oeuvres where people can come in and enjoy themselves and have a short social hour.
And this is open to the general public,
right?
Yes, it
is open.
Absolutely.
It's open to the general public.
Museum members and so forth.
Right, museum members, and even if you're not a member, if you want to come over and see what the museum is all about, this
good opportunity.
Would be a good opportunity to do so. And our special guest on Wednesday night is going to be Dick Marks. Dick Marks is probably the most well-known, the most creative, and certainly the most prolific composer of commercial jingles and commercial music in the entire world. Up until just a few months ago, he lived here in Chicago. His whole career was generated in the city of Chicago. He has now moved to the West Coast, but comes back here periodically. He is going to be our seminar group leader that night, and he is not only going to talk about the significance of music to commercials and selling particular products, but also he will be showing and we will be listening to some of his great work. And then about that starts at 6:30 on Wednesday night. And then at 7:30, we're going to have a lot of fun. We're all going to go into the Kraft Television Theater, which is the main auditorium at the museum, and we're going to have a sing fest, or we call it a video jingle-thon. And we're going to have all the great jingles that we have available to us, primarily television commercials, and we'll be playing them back to back to back to back to back, and people will be able to sit in the audience and they'll be able to sing along with some of the great commercials. And that is our special focus on this coming Wednesday night. And
All right, I'll tell you what. Now, I brought along a tape that you gave
me
the other day from Dick Marks.
This is a sample.
And this is a sample of his work, actually.
Right.
And it shows all of how much music plays a part in television commercials. And we have one jingle after another on here. This is cut together from all the commercials.
Right.
This runs about 6.5 minutes, and it's an amazing thing. So why don't we listen to this now?
It is not only amazing, but keep in mind that it all came out of the creative genius of Dick Marks, who will be at the museum Wednesday night.
Okay.
You've come a long way, baby, to get where you got to today. You've got Virginia Slims now, baby. You've come a long, long way.
Rail back,
favorite brand of instant coffees. We're the world's best-selling too. If Nescafe can please the whole wide world, we can sure please you. Sears, where America shops for Christmas. Now it's Maytag's turn to do your dishes.
Yeah!
Yes, it's Maytag's turn to get them clean. And it's your turn to get a Maytag. You can't get a better dishwashing machine. Yes, we bake those marvelous cookies with poppin' fresh dough. With Pillsbury poppin' fresh dough.
Anticipation.
I've seen your joy in the faces of your people. I've brought your sons and daughters home from places far away. Wherever people want to go will be my destination. And I'll bring them all together the Greyhound way.
Well, that is absolutely sensational. That's the work of Dick Marks. I'm Chuck Shaden. This is WBBM News Radio 78, Radio Classics on a Sunday night. Our guests in the studio are Hooper White and Bruce Dumont. Bruce, that was a marvelous collage of commercials.
He is a living genius in his field, and a reminder that he will be at the museum on Wednesday night. The reception starts at 5:30. The seminar starts at 6:30. It is open to the general public, and then at 7:30, we'll have that big sing-along where everyone will be able to...
Well, that is absolutely sensational. That's the work of Dick Marks. I'm Chuck Shaden. This is WBBM News Radio 78, Radio Classics on a Sunday night. Our guests in the studio are Hooper White and Bruce Dumont. Bruce, that was a marvelous collage of commercials.
He is a living genius in his field, and a reminder that he will be at the museum on Wednesday night. The reception starts at 5:30. The seminar starts at 6:30. It is open to the general public, and then at 7:30, we'll have that big sing-along where everyone will be able to sing along and follow the bouncing ball.
That really sounds like fun. That's this coming Wednesday, the 16th of September.
Right, at the Museum of Broadcast Communications, 800 South Wells Street. And I know that Hooper's got a comment about the some other significant points to be made about those commercials.
Well, the point that I feel is important is that those commercials were all done for agencies in Chicago. Those national commercials all originated here in Chicago with agencies in Chicago. J. Walter Thompson, Leo Burnett, Needham Harbor and Steers, Flacon and Belding, and people like Joel Hochberg at Needham Harbor,
mm-hmm.
Don Tennant, who wrote the original Pillsbury music, and the Silver Fox himself, Dick Marks. The music is so happy. It's resolved. It's positive. I don't know. It's Midwestern.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't quite have the sophistication or the angularity that you sometimes get from New York, or the almost avant-garde feeling you get from mm-hmm. the West Coast. This is good old Midwestern music.
Okay. Now we've got lots more ahead of us, so don't touch that dial. And speaking of outstanding commercial music, a sophisticated quality style of commercials. Listen to this.
Come to the superstore, come have TV and a science set, Milwaukee and Orkin.
That's not Dick Marks.
What
that's Mark Moore.
Orchestration on that.
Where can you buy a famous name color TV or major appliance at a never-to-be-repeated price? Right. Superstore, Townhouse TV, and appliances. Smart shoppers, get ready for spectacular savings. Bring your truck or wagon to Townhouse's in-store warehouse sale this week. You see, the superstore is clearing out their warehouse to make room for huge new shipments of merchandise. That means everything you see in the store or warehouse will be sacrificed. Yes, you'll find the best brands at one-time bargain prices. Yes, you'll find the superstore's lowest prices now on Zenith System 3 color TVs, Zenith VHS hi-fi stereo recorders, and compact autofocus camcorders, even Zenith giant screen 45-inch TVs. Don't miss it. Shop late Monday, Thursday, and Friday till 9, Tuesday and Wednesday till 6, Saturday till 5, Sunday till 4. Townhouse TV and Appliances, the superstore in Niles at 7850 North Milwaukee Avenue. Sale now in progress.
Come to the superstore, Townhouse TV and Appliances, Milwaukee and Elkton.
When possession is the name of the game and grown men will stop at nothing to get what they want, it's football at its finest. And there's nothing finer than football on the radio. CBS Radio Sports brings every punt, every pass, every tackle home to you as the NFL kicks in another season. You'll hear it live each week. Football on the radio on CBS Radio Sports.
Monday Night Football kicks off September 21st with the Patriots and Jets on WBBM News Radio 78.
Chuck Shaden here on Radio Classics on WBBM News Radio 78. Hooper White, you are going to participate quite a bit, too, in some of the activities surrounding this Museum of Broadcast Communications exhibit of commercials and things of that nature. Now, you're going to be appearing at the museum on Wednesday evening, the 23rd of September, correct?
Yeah, there's a Bruce has asked me to put together a panel to discuss the winning of advertising awards. What does it mean to the client, to the advertiser, to the public? What does it mean? And the panel is an interesting panel. Mary Connors, who's the Midwest editor of Adweek, has agreed to be part of the panel, as has Gary Horton, who is the chief creative officer of DMB&B. I love it, DMB&B. It reminds me of, I think that Stars of McManus, Benton and Bowles, it reminds me of something Fred Allen said about BBDO, Benton, Barton, Durstein, and Osborne. He said it sounded like a trunk falling downstairs. And the third member of the panel is Paul Schrage, who is the executive vice president and the head of marketing for McDonald's, one of the largest advertisers of the country. And a client that, believe it or not, spends as much as $1 million a day in television advertising.
A million dollars a day.
Can you imagine?
So he could drop a little on Radio Classics, right?
That's a lot of Big Macs. And also some of the, we were talking earlier about the ability of Marlboro to really create an image for a cigarette that really transcends even the purchasing of a cigarette.
Yeah.
I think McDonald's and Coca-Cola, I think I would probably put in a different category, but yet so dominant in the image that they've created. And I know Schrage has been involved
He's been
in
very
creating that.
Indeed, right. He has. Yes.
So Hooper, you'll be there with this panel on September the 23rd. Now that sounds a little in agency to me. Does that have a good interest for the general public?
I don't know. I hope it will. What we hope to do is to, first of all, show the winners of the best show. In other words, the commercials that have won this new contest, which is being originated by the Chicago Advertising Club.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll comment on those commercials and hope to involve the audience as well. And we do hope that not only will advertising agency people and advertisers be there, but the general public.
Right. And also that the key thing is that the new awards will have just been determined 6 days before. So the museum will be the place to go where you can see what the creative people think are the best commercials.
Mm-hmm.
And as Hooper, I'm sure, would agree, which is sort of the basis of the discussion that evening, is that a lot of times an award-winning commercial does not move the product. So it's pulled very quickly. Is that correct, Hooper?
Let me give you an example. Alka-Seltzer, over the years, has probably had the most noticed commercials.
Spicy meatball.
Can't believe I ate the whole thing. On and on and on.
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz.
Exactly, and it has not necessarily helped their sales that much. They have been through several agencies. They'll fire one and get another one, fire that one and get another one. So winning awards doesn't necessarily mean that you're winning sales as well. It's a rather vital combination.
It seems to me that the general public cast its ballot for the award-winning commercials by
whether they
today
buy
in the world of television, world of VCRs, video cassette recorders, when you're fast forward, when you're zapping those commercials, when you stop the tape and watch one, that's an award-winning commercial,
yeah,
right?
True.
I mean, when you say, oh, that's the one, I want to see that one. That
and every now and then it happens that way, too. Mm-hmm. For instance, the there are two or three current commercials that are really stoppers. Mm-hmm. The Claymation commercial for raisins.
Mm-hmm.
They've got
T-shirts out on that now,
sure.
Even.
It's a marvelous thing to watch. It's fun. It's refreshing. Mm-hmm. I mean, who would ever thought a raisin would be exciting? I mean, this wrinkle-looking prune, come on, that's ridiculous. But they're, you know, they're lovable, and suddenly raisins are selling better than they used to.
Well, I think everybody has their favorite commercials. And someone said that when a commercial, now that award-winning commercials probably are never the commercials that annoy and grate on the consumer, on the viewer. Years ago on television, Timmy, that newsboy who was selling hawking newspapers
long
for some long Chevrolet. Yeah, I mean that would not win an award, but it certainly had everybody's attention. In fact, they even gave the kid a pie one during one of those.
Deservedly so.
And many times the local commercials have such repetition to them, but they do stand out, and they're the ones that sell, really.
One other thing that we're going to do during the exhibition, and this will be on Thursday and Friday, the 23rd and 24th, during the day at the museum, we're going to take specific commercials, let's say soft drink commercials, and we're going to play a whole hour of just soft drink commercials. So you will see how the various agencies and companies have tried to reach basically the same
mm-hmm,
market,
mm-hmm.
And obviously you see a lot of people having a lot of fun, and you also see a lot of the similarity in trying to sell the product. So it's one other way in which we'll be presenting commercials during the month of September.
You know, one of the big differences between radio and television commercials, though, is something you brought up earlier, Chuck, and that is that the personality of the voice and mm-hmm. and radio, which works in the mirror of the mind and allows you the freedom to see it through your ears the way you want to, has a strength that in many ways is much stronger than television advertising.
Well, it becomes much more personal.
Yeah,
you
that's
see
what I mean.
With whether it be a radio Closer. A radio show, an old vintage show as we're doing, or a contemporary radio personality or a commercial, mm-hmm. everybody sees that person delivering that message or that entertainment in a slightly different way. You see him as you want to see him.
We had
you see it by
example
yourself.
This back at WBBM in the 40s. One of the soap operas that was nationally broadcast from Chicago was mm-hmm. called Bachelor's Children, which we lovingly called the Bastards. But anyway, Bachelor's Children had a hero whose name was Dr. Bob. Now their ratings began to fall a bit. So Procter & Gamble, who's the sponsor, decided they'd have a contest. What does Dr. Bob look like? Now, remember, this is radio.
Uh-huh.
And in came these thousands of descriptions of Dr. Bob. He was tall, he was short, he had hair, he didn't have hair. He was blonde, he was redheaded, he had dark hair, he was fat, he was thin. I mean, whatever they saw, that particular mm-hmm. person saw, is the way Dr. Bob was. And that's strong.
That's why so many of the radio characters did not translate very well to television,
mm-hmm.
because television could not depict that character the way you saw him. I mean, and you had 125 million people listening in to Fibber McGee, and that hall closet opened up and it crashed open when they tried to do the hall closet on television. It could never get as full as you had it in your imagination. I got some more commercials for us now. We're starting off with a Winston cigarette commercial, and this gives a description of five different styles to the jingle. You know, the Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Da-dum-dum-dum. And then it was Winston tastes good like a
cigarette should. Right. Yeah. Well, you're going to hear five
Not
different
ever.
Styles all the same. Then we got something for a famous Wild Root cream oil.
Charlie,
okay. Household Finance.
You sure it wasn't Wild Reed Crew Oil?
Wild Reed Crew Oil, right. Halo, everybody.
Hello.
Halo. Halo is the shampoo
that glorifies your hair. So, halo, everybody. Halo.
We're going to be there for the sing-along, right?
That's right. And remember, never borrow money needlessly, just when you trust.
Budweiser with the crew cuts Ford with the four lads, and we wrap it up in 6 minutes with the Marlboro spot.
Oh, beautiful.
Okay, let's listen.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston gives you real flavor, full rich tobacco flavor. Winston's easy drawing too. The filter lets the flavor through. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should.
Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston tastes good like a cigarette should. Winston gives you real flavor, full rich tobacco flavor. Winston's easy trying to. The filter lets the flavor through. Winston tastes good like a cigarette
cigarette should.
Get Wild Root Cream all Charlie. It keeps your hair in trim. You see, it's non-alcoholic Charlie. It's made with pseudolanolin. You better get Wild Root Cream all Charlie. Start using it today. You'll find that you will have a tough time, Charlie. Keeping all those gals away. Get a bottle right away. Your druggist has it. A little goes a long, long way. You hear it screaming. Keeps you looking neat all day.
Never borrow money needlessly, just when you must. Borrowed and where loans are a specialty from folks you trust. Borrow confidently from HFC.
Household Finance Corporation offices are listed in your telephone book.
Hello, everybody, hello. Halo is the shampoo that glorifies your hair. So hello, everybody, halo. For softer, lively curls and brighter, sparkling hair. So hello, everybody, halo. Halo shampoo, halo.
American Airlines greets you with music till dawn. Good evening, everyone. This is Bob Hall with a welcome aboard American Airlines Music Till Dawn. I'll be here from now until 5:30 tomorrow morning, keeping a musical watch throughout the night. And to help us while away the hours, recordings to fill your night with beautiful music, the news, the weather, every hour on the hour from now till dawn. The next 6 hours of easy listening presented by America's leading airline, American Airlines. Tonight marks a milestone in our series of all-night broadcasts, the beginning of our sixth year on the air under the continuous sponsorship of American Airlines.
Budweiser commercial featuring the Crew Cuts.
Where there's life, there's Bud. At a concert or a show in your own backyard, wherever you go, Budweiser's here and for folks to know. Where there's life,
most happy fellas, the four lads for Ford.
Standing on the corner, watching all the Fords go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the Fords the eye. Look at it go, it's a Thunderbird kissing cousin. Get in a Ford, give Ford a try. So don't be standing on the corner, watching all the Fords, watching all the Fords. Be the guy who's going by.
You get a lot to like.
Not over yet.
With a Marlboro filter flavor, flip top box filter. Flavor, flip-top box, you get a lot to like with a Marlboro filter, flavor, flip-top box.
That's it. That's it. That's Marlboro. And Hooper, you said...
it was one of the very early Marlboros.
Early Marlboro ones, yeah.
It's interesting. If you were... And we did this at Burnett. We put together a musical anthology, if you will, of the Marlboro music from that one, which is one of the very earliest, mid-50s.
Mm-hmm.
To the present time, and the way that melody somewhat stayed the same but changed at the same time, became continually contemporary, is very interesting. And Dick Marks had a great deal to do with the arranging of that jingle.
Well, the one we just heard, that was an early one, right? Because it was the Marlboro Macho that followed that,
yeah.
Didn't it?
It was the
Macho image that replaced the filter flavor.
Well,
that box.
You see, when Marlboro came to Burnett, it was the first cigarette to be in a flip-top box. And Leo, being a pretty smart character, said, hey, that's the important difference right away. This is the inherent drama.
Mm-hmm,
the first inherent drama of this product is the way it's presented in this flip-top box.
Filter, flavor, flip-top box.
Yeah, so those were the three phrases that worked with filter, flavor, flip-top box, and that's all it was. You've got a lot to like in a Marlboro.
I do want to point out that we are presenting these cigarette commercials tonight for their historic interest.
Yeah, that's all.
In the world of commercials and in the popular culture of our time. Certainly not an endorsement for smoking. In fact,
not for me.
Surgeon General says cigarette smoking is hazardous to your health. I don't know if listening to them is hazardous to your health, but try not to inhale while one of those commercials is on. I'm sorry, go ahead, Bruce.
No, that was my point.
That was it. Oh. You know,
I had one other point, Chuck, if I may. Among the early television commercials were animations, and these animations actually were animations put to radio jingles.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you'll wonder where the yellow went was a radio jingle for 2 or 3 years before television came along. And then when television came along, they took that jingle and animated a little shot of a girl scrubbing her teeth with the word yellow on the teeth, and off came the yellow. I mean, it was a very primitive-looking animation, but it was the radio jingle to which animation was added.
Then there was a Bucky Beaver for Ipana.
Brusha, 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 new Ipana toothpaste. Brusha, 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 ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba.
Whatever happened?
Oh, we could go on. We could go another 20 seconds doing
whatever,
that.
Whatever happened to Stardust, right? And the theme from Picnic.
Wait,
Moongo. We're going to take a short break to do some real life commercials for today, and we'll be back with our guest Bruce Dumont, the president of the Museum of Broadcast Communications here in Chicago, Hooper White, a television advertising consultant, and yours truly, Chuck Shaden. This is Radio Classics from Chicago on WBBM News Radio 78.
Is it hard for you to say no to alcohol and drugs? Does alcohol start your happy hour before breakfast? Has it gotten to the point where drugs abuse you? Ignoring it won't make it go away. Call the new treatment center. You see, DuPage County's largest medical facility, trusted Elmhurst Memorial Hospital, has designed the treatment center to treat chemical dependency with a proven biopsychosocial approach that's personalized. Because chemical dependency is a very personal problem. We protect your privacy, by law and by ethics. A staff of medical specialists will see you through to the end of it with aftercare that's free as part of your recovery program. Consultation is free. If you need help for yourself or for someone you love, You can start by calling the Treatment Center's 24-hour crisis line right now. The number, 941-4577, 941-4577. If you can't remember the number, just call Elmhurst Memorial Hospital and ask for the Treatment Center for the help you need to say no for the rest of your life.
WBBM Direct Line.
WBBM Direct Line, the free confidential telephone information and referral service. If you have a problem and don't know where to turn, if you're bogged down in red tape and can't get results, help is as close as your phone at 787-3000. Our trained Direct Line volunteers will go to work and make things happen. Call Direct Line, weekdays 9:30 to 12:30 at 787-3000. Another free service of WBBM News Radio 78.
Okay, we're going to continue now with the subject of commercials on radio and television, and we're having a good time with them, and I hope you are too. And maybe some of the things we've talked about has touched a memory wave in your imagination, listening to some of the old commercials, and think about the significance of commercials. Really, we mentioned Bruce before that your current career on radio and television is in the public sector, I suppose. Whereas so much of the rest of the world of radio and television is in the commercial world,
yeah. And I miss doing commercials. By the way, that's one thing in moving from commercial broadcasting to public broadcasting that I miss. I used to have fun doing commercials.
You miss doing commercials?
Yes, I do. It was fun, right?
Don't look so surprised, Chuck.
No, they were fun because you could have fun with them. You know, if you screw up,
true.
Everybody would laugh along.
You know,
with it.
It's a funny thing. People say, "Oh, gee, the commercials." Well, they're a necessary evil, and they are a necessary evil. I don't know how evil they are. Commercials foot the bill, really. It is a commercial that lets you see your favorite television show
for free.
And sometimes people will look at those commercials and say, it may be free, but the cost is high.
That's true.
But a lot of people have had fun with commercials over there. Again, Arthur Godfrey was one who kidded the commercials and sold the product like mad. He'd talk about Lipton's chicken noodle soup, and he says he'd stir it on television on his Talent Scouts program and his Godfrey show. He'd stir the bowl of soup there, and there it is. I saw a little piece of chicken in there, you know. Or he'd put the tea bag in the Lipton's in the hot water for Lipton tea.
You know, some of the great commercials of all time, I have always thought, were the Kraft commercials. And we obviously have many of them at the museum, given Kraft's association with the museum. And they usually let off all the Kraft, the music halls and Kraft television theaters, which we have a large collection of. But the way in which Ed Herlihy was able to tell a story about how a particular food product was made and a menu, really the spinoff of that were cooking shows on radio and television.
True.
Because the success of them, I think the commercials were about 2.5 to 3 minutes long, where he would literally go through the entire menu. The way in which that was done, and they were all done live. When Ed was in for our opening, he was telling the story about that in all the years that they did things on television, and they rehearsed them over and over and over again, there was never a mistake on live television making those commercials,
right,
because they had been so well rehearsed. But
well, then he said when they started doing them on tape, he said it took a half a day to do those commercials because they'd screw up.
And they also lost the spontaneity of it.
Yeah.
That again was a Chicago product. J. Walter Thompson and Kraft working together had an experimental kitchen where these recipes were completely worked out, and it was really quite a monumental effort put into. But they were live.
When, as you said, Bruce, the commercials were done live, they would do a lot of rehearsal, and then, you know, at 22 minutes after the hour, when Act One of the Kraft Television Theater came to a conclusion, boom, they were on live to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Hooper, you've produced so many commercials. An average commercial, not one with a lot of gimmicks and things like that, but an average television commercial, how long would it take to do a 30-second television commercial?
Okay, let me give you a typical example. Now, we're talking about a national television commercial. First of all, it has to be conceived and presented to the client, usually in a storyboard form, which has been pre-tested. And when the client then accepts the idea, that goes out for bids, and the bidding process, two or three companies, usually three companies, bidding on it.
Now, what kind of companies are bidding?
Production companies. Okay. Joe Pitka, for instance. Some of these names have become nationally well-known names. Joe Settlemyer here in Chicago is one of the better directors in the country.
He wears the beef, right?
That's for a particular type of direction. It then comes back, and the job is awarded. There's pre-production meetings held for probably 3 or 4 days ahead of the production, maybe a week, week and a half ahead of it. If there are sets to be constructed, they have to be built. If there are locations to be found, they have to be found. I was just looking at some prices here. I won't tell you what the client is, but this is a commercial level cost, $225,000 to produce. There's a day of location work in Banff on Lake Louise. That's with everything considered, getting a large crew up there with sound equipment and everything else, and paying these premier people to do it, $100,000. Then there'll be a day of still photography, which will run $50,000. Then there'll be a cost of the talent involved. There are about 15 people on camera for the 2 days, and residuals are $15,000 to $20,000. The music will be about $25,000. The editorial and finishing will add another $30,000. I mean, this is, we're talking unbelievable amounts of money. And there are many commercials that cost much more. The Michael Jackson extravaganza, for instance, nobody even would like to discuss.
Well,
how about those
Stan Freberg, Ann Miller, Campbell Soup commercials?
Well, in those days, that was a lot of money, and that was like $150,000.
Mm-hmm. In contrast to this, how much does it cost to have two automobile dealers standing in front of their showroom saying you always save more money?
Depends on how many they can do in one day.
But they obviously move a lot of cars because they're still doing it.
Yeah. Well, the point is that's local too. That's not national. You're not going to be. You're not going to have the commercial showcased in the middle of a major network television program.
Not all national commercials are that expensive. A commercial usually costs what the art director draws into it and what the writer writes into it. I mean, if it's got to be shot in Africa, it's not going to cost the same as if it's shot in Gary. You know, everything has its own price.
Cecil B. DeMille wanted to go to Africa, but,
the account executive said Gary's.
Louis B. Mayer says, into the back lot. That's where we're going with this sort of thing. Right, hey, I've got some more commercials here for you. This is another 5 minutes worth of goodies from the good old days. You're going to hear... Old Spice, commercial for Old Spice, and most of these things now from radio.
Is that the one with the whistle?
Old Spice
means quality, said the captain to the bosun, so look for the bottle with the ship that sails the ocean.
Pepsodent, beach nut gum. Here's one that I think Freeberg did, Contadina tomato paste.
How many?
Eight great tomatoes in that little bitty can. Newport filter cigarettes. Northwest Orient Airlines.
Boom.
Who here can remember the commercial for Nescafe?
Nescafe.
Bum, Nescafe.
You get 43 beans in every cup. Remember? Pepsi Cola, and then Vic Damone, no less, singing for Schlitz. Here we go.
Yo ho, yo ho. Brushless or lather, boys, whichever you've the notion.
50 cents for shaving cream, $1 for the lotion.
Old Spice means quality, said the captain to the bosun. So look for the package with the ship that sails the ocean. Yo ho, yo ho,
yo ho, yo ho.
Billy Brown, the smoothest, coolest guy in town. The chicks all seem to dig his jive.
Hey, tell us, Bill, how can we arrive?
It's easy, Jack. Any gal gets sent when you flash a smile by Pepsodent.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
Pepsodent's new improved formula cleans teeth whiter than ever. Tastes brighter, too. New formula Pepsodent contains IMP. There's nothing else as good at getting teeth white.
You'll wonder where the yellow went when you brush your teeth with Pepsodent.
Hey, Columbus, we can't turn back without an order from you.
I'm not talking while the flavor lasts.
What are you chewing?
Beech nut gum.
We could be in for a long voyage.
Who puts eight great tomatoes in that little bitty can? Who puts eight great tomatoes in that little bitty can? Who puts eight great tomatoes in that little bitty can? You know who, you know who.
In case you don't, it's Contadina tomato paste.
Newport, Newport, Newport built this cigarette for him. A bit makes the difference, so fresh that you'll know the difference.
They're soft, smoking,
they're fresh, tasting, so keep your pleasure fresh. Keep smoking Newport built this cigarette.
Give wings to your heart, your spirit soar.
With Northwest Airmanship,
you fly as you've never flown before. Fly the best when you fly Northwest, Northwest Orient Airlines.
Planning a trip to Tokyo, Manila, Hong Kong, anywhere in the Orient? Fly the shortest, fastest way, Northwest. Northwest Great Circle Shortcut saves you 1,800 miles to the Orient. And only Northwest gives you one airline service to the Orient, direct from Cleveland. So fly the shortest, fastest way to the Orient. Fly Northwest. Daily first class and tourist service across the Pacific on luxurious DC-7C. Call your travel agent or...
Northwest Orient Airlines.
Beans times two beans is four beans.
Nescafe uses lots more beans.
10 beans times four beans and add three more beans.
Make 43 rich coffee beans.
Yes, you get 43 beans in every cup of Nescafe real coffee beans. That's all there is in Nescafe. 43 beans in every cup.
Make Nescafe the all coffee instant coffee. With the let's have another cup. Taste.
Extra beans means extra flavor. Today's Nescafe goes all the way for flavor with 43 choice beans in every cup.
Be sociable, look smart. Keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable, have a Pepsi.
Schlitz presents Vic Damone singing,
Know the real joy of good living. Move up to quality, move up to Schlitz. Know the real joy of good living. Move up to quality, move up to Schlitz. Refreshing Schlitz, the world's best-selling beer. At any price you pay. One of the finest things in life everyone can enjoy today. Know the real joy of good living. Move up to quality, move up to Schlitz. Know the real joy of good living. Move up to quality, move up to Schlitz.
The Joy of Good Living by Vic Damone. Treat yourself to one of the finer things of life. Move up and enjoy Schlitz quality today.
And that's Schlitz, Vic Damone, and the good old days. Hooper White, would you say that these commercials sold the product pretty good?
You know, it's interesting. In a way, commercials change with the times.
Mm-hmm.
Those would seem to be pretty corny, some of them today. But at that time, they really weren't. They they were contemporary. Interesting point. Leo Burnett always felt he'd like to be contemporary, but not avant-garde. He wanted to be with people where they are in their lifestyle and so on today, but not necessarily to be ahead of them. Whereas, this may be a generalization, but I think there's enough to back it up. New York has a tendency to say, we will lead people as to where they're going to be. Whereas, advertising in the Midwest says, we know where people are, and we'll approach them from that standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And musically, that's really what Dick Marks does, and really what many of these commercials did at that point. They're out of date now, but they were not out of date at that time.
Well, that makes them unique, too, as we listen to
of
these
course.
Things. And what you just said, Hooper, about the Midwest style, the Chicago school, if you will, that we find out where the people are and reach them that way.
Right.
I think that says it for Chicago, the Chicago School of Radio, the Chicago School of Television.
And it's a school of advertising
and on
as
your,
well.
And on your point of where people are and whether or not you're able to really reach out to them, That's, I think, one of the most important things that we're doing at the museum insofar as collecting commercials. People probably say, well, why would you want to save commercials? Do people really want to listen to them in 20 years? Well, if you're going to examine what American society was like in the, you know, in the latter part of the 20th century, you can certainly do it by listening to radio programming and television programming. Mm-hmm. But as you said earlier in the show, Chuck, advertising feeds those two programming sources. And in future generations, and even today, if you really want to understand what life was like in a country, you have to have a sampling of their commercials as well, because society will be judged as much by the commercial content of broadcasting as the programming content, I think, in the generations to come.
Well, it's interesting, too, Chuck, in the advertising age, which became 50 years old in 1980, asked me to put together a 30-minute film on advertising. And in looking at the advertising in 1930 and in 1940, as compared to advertising 1950 and 60, the differences were monumental. For instance, in 1940, 41, 42, the advertising was really non-advertising. It told you why they weren't advertising, because we were in a war. And one of the most famous of all the commercials was the boy in upper eight or something. And what it was a boy on his way to boot camp, and he's on a sleeper. Now, most people don't even know what the hell a sleeper is. And here was a train, a kid in the upper berth. Boy in upper eight. And it was the right commercial, right ad for that time, would be completely misunderstood now, because we don't go by train anymore.
The commercials don't necessarily reflect life, but they do reflect the time period and the frame of mind of people at the time.
Exactly.
And that 50 years of advertising that what you put together is going to be shown at the museum at 12:15 p.m., the noon hour, on this coming Friday, September the 18th. Now, Bruce, is that also going to be available as part of the museum's library system, the archive, or is that just for this exhibit?
No, everything that is in the exhibit that we will be playing in the Kraft Television Theater is also, or will also, when the exhibition is over, will be available in the museum. So that, for instance, in the area of commercials, what we're attempting to do, we have over 5,000 commercials which are in the process of varying degrees of being cataloged. And you will be able to come in and you will be able to either look for a particular year so that you could go back to 1982 and find out what the award-winning commercials are. Mm-hmm. But we're also taking and we're dividing up the commercials into 76 different and very specific categories. So if you or future generations want to go in and find out how soft drinks or toothpaste have been marketed over the years, you can go in and you can sit down and watch 90 minutes of soft drink commercials if you want to do that. And that's one of the ways, not only in which we're going to utilize that insofar as our programming is concerned, that will also be, I think, an important research tape for future generations.
And once again, the Museum of Broadcast Communications becomes a leader in the area of broadcast communications with this fine collection of commercials.
Right. We will have one of the largest commercial collections in the United States. And the most important thing is that we're building it so that it is easily accessible and understood by the audience.
And anybody who watches 90 minutes of soft drinks commercials ought to bring with them some munchies, right?
That's right. Yeah,
they better do that. Over the years, many personalities have been parodied on commercials, and we are no exception.
In the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia, how are you, how are you, how are you? This is your old friend. You know, I first became acquainted with the Metro-Golden-Memories Nostalgia Shop purely by accident. I'll tell you how it happened. A few months ago, I was making a cross-country flight in my private plane when I ran out of gas over Chicago, which was a stupid thing to do. Right, Tony?
That's right, Arthur.
So I ran out of gas over the northwest side of Chicago, and I didn't have enough fuel to get me to the nearest airport, which is O'Hare, so I set the plane down on the roof of a commercial building, which turns out to be the building that houses Metro-Golden-Memories. Well, the first thing I did was climb off the roof into the store, go into the store to apologize for all the racket I'd made on the roof. And the staff there was so darn nice to me. They showed me around the store. They're very courteous. He showed me all the videotapes they have of old-time movies and the classic TV shows from the 40s and 50s. They showed me their collection of still photos of movie stars, and not just the stars, but also some of these character actors you used to see on the screen. You forget their names, but you see their faces, they bring back a sort of a warm glow. They showed me all the books they have about radio and TV and movies from the old days. And their audio cassettes of radio shows, like Amos and Andy and Suspense, Lux Radio Theater, Jack Benny and Fred Allen, Charlie McCarthy, and all the wonderful musical shows they used to have on the radio. They got them all on radio cassette, audio cassettes for you. And they got a record department. It was a heartwarming experience. Metro Golden Memories. And the people, like I said, were so nice. In fact, when I was leaving, the proprietor even asked me to drop in again sometime.
Hi, this is Felicia Middlebrook.
And this is John Haltman.
Keep your dial on News Radio 78 throughout the weekend for the latest on world happenings.
We'll keep you posted on any breakthroughs and negotiations between the Chicago teachers and the school board as the strike continues.
We'll also be tracking the path of Pope John Paul II as he continues his pilgrimage here in the U.S.
Plenty of sports this weekend. You can catch the latest scores with frequent updates.
You'll get all the help you need on the expressways with traffic reports from AAA Chicago Motor Club.
Plus the latest on that ever-changing forecast.
Then we'll see you on Monday morning.
In touch with Chicago.
WBBM News Radio 78.
Chuck Shaden here on Radio Classics from WBBM in Chicago, WBBM News Radio 78, as somebody around here always says. Bruce Dumont, the president of the Museum of Broadcast Communications, has been our guest this evening, as has been Hooper White, a television advertising consultant. He has his own firm, many years with the Leo Burnett Agency, and it's been a delight to have both of you. We're not ready to go yet. As a matter of fact, Bruce, you are one of the foremost political correspondents in the city. You have your finger on the pulse of Chicago politics, statewide politics, national politics, I suppose. And if I were to ask you, give me one sentence to describe your reaction to the name of this politician I'm going to give you. I have three or four politicians I want to say. If I say Otto Kerner, what will you say?
Guilty.
No, no, come on.
Oh, no. He's a Rorschach.
That's guilty.
No, that is really a sentence.
That's a sentence. Right. That was a sentence.
No, describe.
10 years was a sentence. What? I'm sorry.
Otto Kerner.
A former governor, a former federal judge.
And he was guilty.
And was convicted, right, by Jim Thompson.
Of
mail fraud.
Okay. Paul Powell.
Shoeboxes.
Okay.
Shoeboxes, Secretary of State. He was also, I don't think he was guilty. I think they found the money after the fact.
Somebody else's shoeboxes.
Okay. Yeah. Harry Semerow.
Harry Semerow.
There's no relationship between these people. It's just the names of some politicians.
No, the first two I didn't know where you were going.
No, I'm not going.
Harry Semerow is on the Board of Tax Appeals, mm-hmm. a graduate of Schurz High School, a radio broadcaster, mm-hmm. and also owns a minor league baseball team. Mm-hmm. Been around, former postmaster of Chicago, and
he did,
Democratic politician.
Before we got to that little station in Evanston, he owned that WNMP some time, didn't
Harry,
he?
Harry's been involved in broadcasting mm-hmm. for a long time.
Richard J. Daley.
Richard J. Daley, former mayor, former county clerk, perhaps the last great, powerful mayor of the city of Chicago.
Okay. Now, I have some vintage radio commercials for each one of those people I have for you. And for you out there, listen.
Okay, Otto Kerner, Kerner's okay for the job.
In 1961, Governor Kerner inherited a $13.3 million deficit in Illinois' housekeeping fund. Today, that general revenue fund boasts a healthy minimum monthly balance of $70 million. This financial miracle was accomplished mainly through rigid economies in state government, through new and improved methods of tax collection, through the plugging up of tax loopholes by legislative action. Thus, fiscal integrity was restored to the state, And for the first time in 10 years, Illinois enjoys a truly balanced 1963-65 budget, providing more services than ever before without new or increased taxes.
He's made our state a leader in the USA, Otto Kerner. Okay.
Vote Democratic. Retain Governor Otto Kerner.
I'm Paul Powell, 30 years as a member and three-time speaker of your House of Representatives. I sponsored and supported many life-saving laws for traffic safety. As your next Secretary of State, I will promote and direct a traffic safety program designed to protect your life and the lives of your loved ones.
Vote for Paul Powell, Democratic candidate for Secretary of State. Vote for the Democrat even Republicans vote for. The preceding was a paid political announcement sponsored by the Citizens for Paul Powell.
Hi, we're taking a poll to prove that 9 out of 10 voters go for Semro for Cook County president. Excuse me, typical Cook County voter. Who do you go for?
I go for Semro.
Semro's my vote.
Semro's got my vote.
I go for Semro.
I go.
You go.
We all go for Semro. Hooray!
And you there, who do you go for?
Win with Wilkie.
There it is. Proof that 9 out of 10 Cook County voters go for Harry Semro.
I go.
You go.
We all go for Semro.
Vote Democratic.
Remember when polio used to strike down hundreds of our children? Now Chicago is one of the healthiest cities in the nation. Remember when residential streets were dark and unswept? Now nearly every Chicago street is brightly lit and is cleaned regularly. I'm proud of Chicago, aren't you?
Sponsored by the All Chicago Committee to re-elect Richard J. Daley, Mayor. What question is in the minds of all Cook County voters? Listen.
Think the Bears will win this weekend?
Wonder if we'll get a lot of snow this winter.
And you suppose...
No, no. I mean, who do you go for Cook County president?
I go for Semro.
You go.
We all go for Semro.
No question about it. Cook County voters go for Harry Semro.
I go.
You go.
We all go for Semro.
Vote Democratic.
But they didn't.
No, well, there's a... I have to tell you, this collection of five little spots came from transcription discs that had been sent to various radio stations during the time of these various campaigns. And there really is no relationship to one to another in this little bit of grouping, other than that they are political commercials. And they seem kind of naive, today, as you listen to... As you watch all the television commercials and hear other things, but you know one thing I notice about political commercials today, especially on the radio, you get a nice little spot going along, and then at the end the candidate himself comes on and says, "Paid for by citizens for Joe Schlunk," and it sounds like he talked through a telephone. Or in a hall
That's
or
right.
something like that. And I don't
well,
know why that is.
Well, they have to do it for legal purposes because they're...
The candidate has to do that?
The candidate has to appear in his radio commercial.
Yeah, but he ought to at least go to the studio and be recorded.
Yeah, I mean,
well.
You're right. I think most of them sound like they were recorded in the bathroom.
Off the train as it was going by on the whistle stop.
That's right, with a plane flying over.
Well, I had those for you, Bruce, because I know
of
your great political indications, interest, I should say. I want you to hear now some commercials for some motion pictures. Now, we've talked about a lot of different things for commercials, but, you know, on television now, you see all these clips for the movies and all of that. Well, on radio, too, they had commercials promoting the movies. They speak for themselves.
Fire! Light up the sky. It's the entertainment thrill of a lifetime. It's Mary Poppins, Walt Disney's newest and most delightfully entertaining motion picture, starring Broadway's incomparable Julie Andrews.
Just a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down in a most delightful way.
And America's fabulous funny man, Dick Van Dyke.
It's a jolly holiday with Mary. No wonder that it's Mary that we love.
Mary Poppins, the most enchanting tour de force in magical musical fantasy ever brought to the motion picture screen. See Julie Andrews and Dick Van Dyke in the motion picture acclaimed as Walt Disney's greatest achievement, Mary Poppins.
By
Bonnie Parker and Clyde Barrow. In the 30s, they were what you call notorious. Dig up newspapers of that time and you'll see what we mean. Bonnie and Clyde, just a fun couple. They're young. They're in love. And they kill people. From Warner Brothers, Seven Arts, and Technicolor, Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway are Bonnie and Clyde. They may remind you that today's kids aren't so wild after all.
Now playing at a theater near you, right?
Right.
Today's kids aren't so bad, right? Not when you think of Bonnie and
fun-loving
and Clyde.
Just two young kids out to look and see the Southwest.
That's right. Just
Bruce, tell me, as if I didn't know, but tell us anyway, some of the things besides the exhibit of commercials that are coming up this fall at the Museum of Broadcast Communications.
Well, following the commercial fest, which ends on the 25th of September, we have a salute to perhaps the most awarded, recognized television producer in the history of Chicago, Scott Craig. Mm-hmm. And in the exhibition Scott Craig Documentarian, which starts on the 30th of September and runs through the 23rd, we'll be playing some of his award-winning programs like Ed Kelly in The Fighting 47th and Tiny Town, Children of Divorce, Project, Three from Illinois, Return to South Shore. I mean, Scott Craig is legendary in Chicago television annals. He is still very much an active producer, in fact, he probably has about five or six projects going on right at the moment.
Spends a lot of time right in this building.
Yes, he
here
does,
at CBS.
Channel 2. Mm-hmm. For the last about decade and a half, he has worked exclusively for Channel 2 insofar as his Chicago television presentations, mm-hmm. but he works for stations around the country and has produced a number of award-winning series, over 29 local Emmy Awards, and he has won just about every major broadcast award, and we will be saluting Scott Craig because one of the main spotlights that we hope the museum can focus and use its influence is to focus on the great broadcasters and the great talent that comes from the Midwest. So we're very pleased to be able to say that Scott Craig will be the focus of an exhibition. And then following Scott Craig is another great Chicagoan, perhaps one of our greatest exports to the world, and that's Mr. Steve Allen. On the 24th of October, we will have a major salute to Steve Allen, sponsored in cooperation with Electronic Media Magazine, and that gala dinner that evening at the Hotel Nico will be followed by a two and a half month exhibition of the great work of Steve Allen, and we'll be playing the great shows circa 1958 when they were sponsored by Johnson Wax. So this is the the Don Knotts, Tom Poston, the Louie Nye era the Steve Allen Show, as well as his great Westinghouse shows, which were really the forerunner of what is now the David Letterman Show.
Anyone who wants to get information about the Museum of Broadcast Communication need only make a telephone call to
987-1500, and there'll be somebody there after 9:30 tomorrow morning. The museum is closed on Mondays and Tuesdays, but the office is still open. So if people have any questions about anything that we've discussed this evening, they can call us at 987-1500.
And the museum will be delighted to send a nice brochure out describing the museum and all the other activities coming up.
If you talk nice.
Okay. Thanks very much for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Hooper White, for your contribution tonight and to the good old days of broadcasting.
Thank you for inviting me.
I'm glad that you came along with us. That's about it for now. The old clock up on the studio wall says it's time for us to go. We'll be back again tomorrow at 8 o'clock with some more great radio classics here on WBBM in Chicago. Tomorrow night, we'll be tuning in to The Green Hornet and George Burns and Gracie Allen. And Tuesday, it's The Third Man and This Is Your FBI. A little later on in the week, Fox 13, Have Gun Will Travel, Jack Benny, Dragnet, The Damon Runyon Theater, and The Lone Ranger. This is Chuck Shaden. Thanks for listening. Be sure to stay tuned for Sherman Kaplan on The Dave Baum Show right after the news.